Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you want to stay up to date anytime, anywhere, you can do so by downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen, stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. Dennis Fuller's producer of the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company, as he is on Tuesdays and Fridays, is, of course, the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast, VSiN's College Football Betting Tailgate Show, VSiN Prime Time, airing weeknights on VSiN. Download VSiN's new app. Listen or watch anytime on demand on VSiN's app, on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Howdy. It's a good day, man. Fired up, way behind on Christmas and all that stuff. But other than that, it's a good day.
I can't even say that I'm behind. That would imply that I would normally have started by now.
You know, I know it's just the calendar and all I had to do was look at it, but
no,
man, it's sneaking up fast, man.
We're not responsible this year. This year was an odd year where Thanksgiving was late. Therefore, everything has been basically a week behind. So if you think about it in these terms, normally we get championship week and then we have a week before the portal opens. Everything was like, remember we had signing day during championship week. Everything was mashed 1 week behind. Not our fault.
Yeah. So other than that, I'm good, man. My team's going to the playoff, hosting on Friday night, which I was certainly hoping for because I will be flying to Boise, Idaho on the 21st. So that would have added a level of frustration. The only, my world problem is I have multiple people who have access to Notre Dame, Indiana tickets, and I can't go.
You can't pull it off.
I'm really upset about it, but it is what it is.
Hey, there's always the next time that they'll host the first ever playoff game.
It's true. There's always the next time that is a good way of putting it. So I've been like working different angles to get people tickets and things like that. I'm like, this kind of sucks. Like, I'm maneuvering all this stuff, and I'm like, I can't go. Like, even if I wanted to go, I got to work on the 21st anyways. I can't do it. So it's a bummer, but I'll be excited to watch it. And, the last time I had tickets to a postseason game that I decided not to go to involving Notre Dame, they were up, I think, 3 touchdowns on Oklahoma State and then blew the lead in the second half and lost by 2. So hopefully that's not the case in a week from Friday.
I was on the other side of that one. That's one of those historic, you remember where you were wins.
Oh, yeah.
That's
watching that first half and be like, man,
yeah, no,
I had tickets to this game.
Yeah, it's like I could have turned this off. I could have, like, you start recounting all the things that you could have been doing rather than watching this. So, yes, that was the one that occasionally did work out. Let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. So we will, of course, discuss the playoff that is now officially set. Also, we got our list of Heisman finalists. I want to discuss that with Tim as well. We'll get into our championship week college football awards. That will wrap up most of the first hour. Then in the second hour, we'll get into Monday Night Football. Also, we've had some movement. We also have a 400-page Bible, apparently, that's written by Bill Belichick, so we got to discuss that. We'll talk some NFL during hour number two. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But let's start first with the playoff, Tim, and I ask a very simple question. Did they get it right?
Yes. I really believe so. We talked about it at length on Friday, and I think we played out the scenario perfectly. What if SMU plays a close game and they lose? And for a little while, it looked like they were about to get blown out, and they didn't. And I just circle back to what we discussed on Friday and what I continue to say, which is Alabama and Ole Miss, and to a lesser extent South Carolina, had all the opportunities to be in this, and Miami, all had the chance to be in this thing. Don't lose as a massive favorite late in the season. And they both did that. And if you're Ole Miss, if you don't lose to Kentucky or if you don't lose to Florida, you're in. If you're Bama and you don't lose to Oklahoma or you don't lose to Vanderbilt, you're in. If you're Miami, if you don't lose to Georgia Tech or if you don't lose to Syracuse, you're in. And I think it's as simple as that. And I understand that plenty of people from the SEC are looking at the strength of schedule and the strength of record, and they want to pull out the old point spread argument. And what I said on Friday on this show to you, Jeffrey, which is, okay, let's play the point spread game. Alabama was a 24-point favorite at Vanderbilt. They played a football game. Vanderbilt won. Alabama was a 14-point favorite at Oklahoma. They played a football game. Oklahoma won by 3 touchdowns. Ole Miss was a double-digit favorite at Florida. They played a football game. They lost the game. Like, point spreads can only go...
I think it closed at 17 or 17.5 against
Kentucky. It was huge. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I work in the sports gambling world. I look at spreads every day, and then we play football games. Every single week this year in college football, we had at least one double-digit favor, starting in week zero all the way to the final week. We didn't have a double-digit favor this past weekend, but look at point spreads this past weekend. Jacksonville State, UL Lafayette, 6-point favorite, got their butt whipped by Marshall. Tulane, 4.5-point favorite.
In fairness, the quarterbacks got hurt. They were already down 17-3 when the quarterback
play
got hurt.
Football games. Games have to matter. And would SMU beat Alabama? I don't think so. But I didn't think Vanderbilt would beat Alabama. I didn't think Oklahoma would beat Alabama. The playoff, I think this is the biggest takeaway for me. The expanded playoff gives you a mulligan or mulligans.
Yeah, I mean,
Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. It is the worst loss of any team, you could argue, in college football this entire year. And what did they have to do? They had to win the next 10 games. And they did. And they're in. If they had lost to USC, I think they would have been out.
Tennessee got a mulligan for losing to Arkansas. Tennessee got a mulligan even for losing to Georgia. Guess what? They fell behind by 2 scores to Vandy on the road, and you're thinking, oh my God, it's their turn. No, they turned it on and they put Vandy away. I think you're right in this sense. Based on the system that was laid out, they got it right. They laid out the rules for here's how you make it. They got it right. If the SEC's mad, they should go back beyond just the season at play. Tim, this is the whole deal. If you're going to sit there and act like, you know, you run things and claim that you run things, you agreed to this system. And I mentioned it yesterday, but I know you've got enough of a wrestling background too that Vince McMahon still controls our brains in the way that we think. The SEC screwed the SEC. In the end, you can talk about it from agreeing to the system to not winning, you know, to losing these games as big-time favorites. Everything that happened was on the table, and I honestly think if SMU doesn't make the comeback in the second half, Bama's probably in.
Yep.
But guess what? They did. And then you're in that weird spot where you're kind of in a game. You know, like when you take points with an underdog and you're winning the whole game, and then all of a sudden overtime comes into play and you don't know what to root for. And then you're just like, all of a sudden you're Bama, you're sitting there, you're rooting for Clemson to beat the crap out of SMU the whole day. And then the game flips, and then all of a sudden you're rooting for SMU to come back and win and to knock Clemson out. Like that was a nice peek into how gambling works, like how the brain works, and how sometimes you just have to flip your rooting allegiances just to get the ticket home.
Yeah, no, I mean, sorry, landscapers just showed up outside my house. I think as we sat there early on in that first half, I'm like, well, Alabama's going to make the playoff because you can't get blown out here. And then, to their credit, they ultimately, you know, tie the game up. And Clemson hits a bomb field goal. And, you know, it's funny looking at the betting market, because we talked about it on Friday, and I was like, and I said it on my show on Saturday. I'm like, I don't understand why the market has moved as much as it has on Alabama to make the playoff. And then lo and behold, they play a close game and the market flips the other way. So, you know, I think one big thing too, I think we discussed it on the show. There is no mole inside of the playoff committee. The odds makers, when it comes to who makes the playoff, are blind just like us.
I do think they're paying attention to... I think they know... I agree with you in the sense that they don't have, like, someone on the inside that's giving them information to set the market. I do think they're paying attention to the people that have displayed themselves at this point to be knowledgeable of what's going on, like the Deniches of the world. The McMurphy seems. I mean, I think didn't Brett tweet it out before even the bracket came out?
Oh, I was out of pocket on Sunday and had no access to anything with service.
No,
so
to
I
your
was,
point though, I don't think they're paying attention to any. I don't think they're paying attention to any information that we couldn't have.
Yeah, there's no like leg up, so to speak, and that's why I thought. The fact that Alabama was like minus 400 to make the playoff heading into this weekend, I'm like, that's just wrong. That's not accurate, because the point spread was 2.5 for Clemson and SMU. Like, the money line was like minus 135. I'm like, that just doesn't compute mathematically. But regardless, yeah, I think, I mean, could you make some, you know, I think ultimately the thing that people probably have issues with is that Boise State and Arizona State got byes, but those are the rules, man. Like,
you agreed to them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, everyone who... There was like someone in like August that made this moronic statement, like, oh my God, Notre Dame is so... Like, what? They're going to get jobbed. They can't get a first-round bye. I'm like, no, you moron.
They wrote the rules.
They were part of the rule discussion, and they can't play in a conference championship game, so they're always going to have a bye week. Like, everyone agreed to these rules. And you agreed that the top four conference champions, you assumed that it would be a Power Four conference, but guess what? The Big 12 was a complete, utter coin toss. Clemson lost a bunch of games, and now here we are, you know? So it's just, yeah, it's pretty funny how it all played out, where Arizona State and Boise State end up with byes, but those are the rules that you decided to play by.
Yeah, we can talk about that. I will say what I also found humorous, just kind of as an observer in the background. Everybody was so consumed with Bama rage and Bama fatigue, or however you want to define it. They did allow the ACC to sneak in with a Trojan horse and essentially get three teams in the middle of the night. And my biggest problem with that whole thing is, if you've watched that league's god awful. I get it. Nobody broke rules, like, they're in it, but it's like, Man, and I know Notre Dame's technically independent, but they play five ACC games, and it's like, good God, we're getting three of those. And by the way, what was Louisville was within a score. I was gonna say, did they play a single ACC game within a score?
Yeah, Louisville they beat by a touchdown,
and everything else was at least I think three scores.
Yeah, I think since Notre Dame's joined that agreement, they've outside of Clemson, they're like something like 35-2 or something insane.
And it's not even like just 35-2; it's like 35-2, and they're like 27-7 against the spread. Like, you know, it's insane.
But yeah, I heard an argument. I think it was Russillo that was making the rounds on social media, and I was just listening to his podcast, and maybe he was just kind of playing contrarian. But he basically said, I'd rather just have Oregon play Georgia for the national championship. I'm like, why? Why?
I will say, the final bracket that we got didn't make me get it. Like, you know, I didn't feel it in the loins like there were sometimes during the year when we had certain matchups. I'm like, I did find myself going like, yeah, this could have been better. But at the same time, it's like that was the system in place.
Like if Alabama was there at 11 and you had Alabama, Penn State, I get it. I would be more excited about that game than SMU taking on Penn State. I agree with that. From an entertainment, like there's a difference, but I think this is the important thing. There's a difference between who deserved to get in and who you'd prefer to see in. And I would prefer to see Alabama in because they have more pro prospects. They have cooler uniforms, and to see Alabama at Penn State would be pretty neat.
Well, I guess the other argument, this is not an argument for putting Alabama in. I'm talking about from an enjoyment perspective. I believe Alabama could win that game.
Yeah,
that's kind of the big. But that's not the debate we're having. You know what I mean? Like I can have two thoughts in my head. Sure. I can sit there and say I think this game would be a better game, but based on what we had, that was not an option.
I will say, like, Clemson, Texas is much more interesting than G5 at Texas, you know? And I know Boise State's good and they have Ashton Gentry, but, like, under normal years, that would be Army, you know? Maybe Memphis, you know? Certainly Memphis would be.
No, I totally agree. Like, because even like though...
You've got a brand that's won national championships going to Texas. So I think we lost Alabama for SMU, which is a bit of a bummer, and I think that's why Penn State SMU is in the noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central time slot on TNT. But you get Clemson, Texas. And to be honest, I know Indiana's not a household name from a football standpoint, but to get South Bend at night with a team that's 11-1, that's got a coach that won't shut up, like, that's a pretty entertaining game to me. So... And then, you know, the matchups that are ahead of us. Rose Bowl is either Ohio State or Tennessee versus Oregon. Yes, please. Sugar Bowl could be Notre Dame, Georgia. Yes, please. So there are definitely some games out there. Like Texas and Arizona State in the Peach Bowl. Eh. I'll watch it, but it's not like I'm, you know, crazy for that one. But I think all in all...
I will say, though... Can't you close your eyes in another year, see, like, that looked like a Peach Bowl? Like a New Year's Six,
oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you close your eyes, you're like, yeah, that's a Peach Bowl that you and I watched at 4:30 on, like, December 31st.
And everyone, and here's the thing, too, right? In these games, and I think Kiffin said something recently about, like, the portal being open right now is ridiculous, which I agree. Like, it's, figure it out, man. Like, figure it out. Like, it's not that complicated. We can't have the portal open and teams playing for national.
You and I work in sports. Did you know it was signing day until it was signing day?
No.
Like and by the way, we're not alone.
Like they it's wild to me how these decision makers are so inept. But to me, I look at a 12-team playoff and I'm like, I'm cool with it. Because I think And look, it's going to expand to probably 14 or 16 in the near future, I have no doubt. But to me, at least for this year, why I thought the 12 was almost perfect, because it led to a little bit of controversy. It led to three name brands in the sport, Miami, Alabama, and Ole Miss. And Ole Miss, I guess, is, you know, on that level, but regardless.
Kiffin is a name brand. I don't know if Ole Miss is.
Being left out and having these discussions, like, you need that. Like, if we go to 24, like, I think the FCS is 24. Like, is there, are we really going to care if...
No, then you're getting into expanding the NCAA tournament territory.
Right. I think 12 is good, man. Like, there's going to be good teams left out, and you need that. There's going to be teams that are perceived to not deserve to be there or are just perceived to be throwaways like in Arizona State. But hell, man, I tried to go against the damn Sun Devils the last 2 weeks, and I got absolutely curb stomped in both of those. So
yeah, this is where we got punished for being ahead of the curve. You and I loved the Sun Devils early because they were just so good to us. And then we started, like, you did the same thing. Like, you got off Vandy quickly. Because yeah. There is a strategy in gambling of knowing when to get off a ship. I just obviously am going to go down with Diego forever and always.
And like, it's like that. I always use it, and I'm so unhip that I don't even know what's cool right now. But like, I always use the example of like when your teacher started to dap, like you were like, "All right,
that's
this
it.
Is over."
It's no, it's done. Like, it's the day that your aunt got on Facebook.
When your neighbor texts you and says, "Hey, man, have you heard about Vanderbilt? They're covering as a dog all the time." You're like, "All right."
Now, it still worked for a few weeks.
It did. It did. And I was like, I didn't bet against them, but I'm like, I don't know, man. It's not cool anymore to be on Diego Pavia. But I ran into this. It's a much smaller, like, randomer. But it was like 2 or 3 years ago. Bailey Zappi was at Western Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
And I just bet them every week. And then finally bowl season came around and you started to get the buzz of like, have you heard about Western Kentucky? They just come like, all right, I'm out. And they won their bowl game by like 50. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, like the same thing was like Arizona last year. Like it can work both ways. Like I rode Vanderbilt. I get burned down the stretch, but I hopped off Arizona State. That burned me down the stretch. But I did also kind of know, I think I started figuring out Indiana. Like when they went up against Michigan, I had Michigan, and then I knew Ohio State was going to fillet them. And then you and I talked about, like, I was looking everywhere I could for alternate lines.
I know.
And I couldn't, I saw, like, they weren't even offering them.
Well, and that's what I think makes it so appealing about next Friday night, right? You've got a Indiana team that has
been I know we have whatever 10 days or whatever.
Yeah.
Isn't Notre Dame Michigan? But if Michigan had an offense,
I think so. Like I think this Notre Dame team, and I am usually pretty pessimistic about the Irish. Like I think this Notre Dame team is really good. Now they have some flaws, but I don't know if Indiana's a team that can necessarily take advantage of it. Like USC took advantage of some of Notre Dame's flaws, like lack of depth at the cornerback position and right now not great pressure. But I'm like, does Indiana have the dudes that are just going to go nuclear at wide receiver? I don't know. But Notre Dame, I mean, I've heard it already a million times. They lost to Northern Illinois. They did. That's correct. That is a fact. They lost to Northern Illinois as a 28-point favorite. On September 7th, they haven't lost since, and they are the third best cover team in college football this year.
Yeah.
No, better than Indiana.
I mean, to me, though, the only thing that I thought was a legitimate gripe, I think the seeding thing might need to be readjusted. But I also will go back to my original point. These conference commissioners were so hell-bent on protecting a cash cow, and that is their championship games, that they wanted to write in protections. Well, when you did that, you now opened yourself up for this situation, and here we are. Like, I do wonder if we could... Does this problem get solved by reseeding?
So you want to reseed for the quarterfinals?
I guess you do it like the NFL does, but the problem is they're handing out the bracket. They're essentially seeding it not based on their rankings. And then that would mean what? Do you have to go back to the rankings? It seems to me the most logical. You got to kind of NCAA tournament it. You got to do the NCAA tournament. If you win if you're one of the five conference champions, you get in. You're guaranteed a spot, but then it's going to be seeded based on their rankings. But they were trying to protect the conference championship game, so lo and behold, here's where we are. Because really, what it became was the SEC and the Big Ten wanting to protect their championship games, and you wind up with this situation. And now you have Georgia in this awkward spot where Carson Beck, that's the other thing. I was feeling bad for Carson Beck. After that first drive when Stockton goes right down the field, I'm sitting there going like, uh-oh. I was glad we got to see the rest of the second half. When essentially Texas got back to the sideline on the right after that possession and got on the old iPads and realized, like, we're not letting this guy outside. He just became like check down Charlie, and then that pick was just awful. Now, it's also, I think, to be fair to Gunnar Stockton, he was just thrust into the SEC championship game against Texas. Like, and so what happens when he has, you know, a few weeks to prepare and they kind of tool a game plan around him? But man, that took the wind out of the sail. That just felt like Carson Beck getting that injury just felt exactly like Brock Purdy having the same injury in the first quarter of the NFC championship game a couple of years ago.
And that's an interesting thing about them moving forward, right? Like,
well, I mean, like, that's the other thing.
Do you know that Notre Dame's the favorite right now against Georgia?
It doesn't surprise me.
It surprises me a little bit.
I think it tells you that they know he's not playing.
Well, he's not going to play. I think that's pretty clear, right? With the UCL injury.
I mean, so, okay, I have a little bit of familiarity with this. So, if he were pitching, because he's a former baseball player, if he were pitching, he'd be done. They'd shut him down. They'd go operate on it. Throwing the football, because it's a heavier ball and you're not putting as much pure strain on the arm by just throwing as hard as you can and then snapping off a slider, you can get around it. I don't know if you can get around it in a month. Like, almost everybody that has it, even if they don't, if they want to avoid having the Tommy John surgery, everyone still shuts it down for at least like 3 to 4 months.
Unless you're Shohei Ohtani hitting bombs.
Well, yeah. So but notice, I don't think Shohei ever played the field anymore, right?
He
just went straight DH.
Yeah.
Like one of my brother's buddies was a guy named Matt Smith, played at Ole Miss, and he was a two way guy. He was a first baseman and a pitcher. He was like their closer. He like tears his UCL like first week of the year, but he still played first base and hit bombs. You know what I mean? Like, so, but you can't pitch. But to your point, the fact that Georgia's operating the way they are tells me that he's not going to play.
The kid Stockton was pretty impressive to me.
See, I thought the first drive was, and then I gave him marks for, like, being competitive. But, man, that entire second half, I'm wondering, why is Texas even honoring a deep? Like, he was doing the same thing every time. He was dropping back, waiting, and then hitting the check down. I never understood why Texas was even honoring going deep. Like, it was so obvious he did not want to throw the ball downfield.
Yeah, no, you're right.
He has moxie. I'll give him that. And he's got, let's be real, that's an all-time like college quarterback name.
Oh, of course, their backup now, quarterback, his name's Gunnar Stockton.
But that's somebody that should be playing at a Texas school, though, right? I mean, that's kind of the other thing. It's like, I keep wondering, do you have this experience in which I fundamentally tip my cap to Oregon in a year where nobody got through this thing unscathed? They get through it unscathed. And honestly, when the games have gotten kind of iffy, they've shown a resilience to figure out a way to get the win. I can't figure it out. Why can I not just sit there and go, hands down, that's the favorite?
Because they looked leaky a little bit when it came to... I was a bit surprised that Penn State had as much success as they did offensively.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I was kind of back and forth on how I felt about what Penn State did. Penn State impressed me on their ability to scheme up big plays. I was very, very disappointed in Penn State's ability to control the line of scrimmage at all. I thought that's where I thought Oregon was massively impressive. I mean, Gabriel largely had his way with them. And God, man, Tez Johnson. Like, it's like every time he takes off, you're just like, God, he's fast. He is just so fast.
That was the thing, too, that, you know, to talk out of both sides of my mouth about Oregon was Oregon just gave up a bunch, but their offense was humming.
I never really felt like Penn State was going to win. The best I could hope for was the situation that we largely had, which was I got to the point where I was rooting for Penn State to score and not get the two.
Yeah.
And then that interception. All right, here's the other thing I wanted to briefly talk about with you before we get into our awards. So obviously this is going to be, we have our four Heisman finalists. We have generational two-way guy. We have the closest statistical comparison to Barry Sanders that we've seen ever. Although, I guess, didn't LT have an insane year 1 year with TCU?
Yeah. I don't think he was as prolific as Ashton Gentry, but he was. He got there, right? He was there.
Yeah, he got invited. We have, and then we have the quarterback of the number one team, who weirdly has been like largely an afterthought all year, despite playing pretty well for pretty much all of the year. And we have Cam Ward, the guy that put up just the ridiculous numbers. Have we turned the page in awarding the Heisman? Because it's almost assuredly going to go to a player that is not a quarterback. Now, he's a special player, but he's not a quarterback. He was not on a playoff team. And he does not play for a brand. And, you know, even though they were in the mix in the Big 12, they were in a league that we kind of largely ignored for much of the year. Is this a turning of the page in which we're no longer just going to essentially NFL MVP it where, all right, who's the number one seed? Let's get the quarterback there. Are we showing growth in maybe how we decide this? Because I do think there's an argument this is a change for the better. I also wonder, though, if this is just kind of a byproduct of we had a completely different, like, this is going to kind of be a weird year in which we're in the middle of figuring out this new process and how we're going to do it, and so it left the door open.
I mean, I'll say this. It has been, and I did a whole big thing on it over the summer regarding, you know, betting this market. And it's actually been a little refreshing these past couple of years because Jaden Daniels deserved to win the Heisman Trophy last year. And we don't know the answer if Bo Nix would have won it if Oregon beat Washington. But Jaden Daniels was the best college football player a year ago, and his team had three losses and didn't make the playoff. He won the award. 2 years ago, it was Caleb Williams. Now, if they had beaten Utah, he would have won, you know, they would have gone to the playoff,
right.
But they didn't, and he still won the award. 4 years ago, Devontae Smith won the award, and there was a lot of assuming, including from me, that Mac Jones would just get it. Well, he's the guy who gets him the ball. But the special player was Devontae Smith, and he won the award. So I think if you look at it kind of big picture, to your point, maybe we're getting somewhere. But then you also look at some dude in Arizona announced today that he voted for Cam Scataboo to win the Heisman. There's too many voters for this award.
My problem is, I don't even care if there are too many voters. My problem is, there are too many voters that don't watch college football.
Yes, I know people who are Heisman voters, and I'm like, really?
Yes, I don't, like, my thing is, I don't mind making it more democratic if you have to, like, have a college football aptitude test. Like, I'm kind of in that camp. I will say, though,
who would you vote for? If you had a vote for the Heisman Trophy, who would you vote for?
I think if I had to do it, I go Travis 1, Ginty 2, and then Topmeyer and I have talked about this. Sometimes I'm okay with giving my third place vote to somebody a little cheeky.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like, had Diego gone 8-4, I think I would have given it to Diego, my third place vote. But with the way that it's gone, and honestly, the fact that I've been kind of like pounding the table, wanting a quarterback to step up, I think I'd give it to Gabriel, 3. Because I think Gabriel did step up.
I have, and I know wins and losses shouldn't matter. Was Travis Hunter the best wide receiver on his own team?
Yes, and you know why I know that? When Shador had to have it, where was he going? Anyone that's played quarterback has always done this. If it's, I got to make a throw, where am I going with the ball?
All right, let me rephrase it this way. Was Travis Hunter the MVP of his own team?
Yes.
I think they're a worse football team if Shador Sanders is not on that team.
I think that's probably true. I think that it's not a fair argument in this sense.
I think when
Shador's what? At worst, the third most talented quarterback in the country, would you say?
Sure.
If you're being a pure hater.
Yeah.
The argument is probably he's the best quarterback.
I think he's the best quarterback.
Right.
I think, and I'm pretty confident he's going to be the first quarterback drafted.
Replacement level quarterback is a much higher drop off than replacement level corner or receiver. That would be my argument.
So I think if I had a vote, I would really struggle, because the level of competition that Ashton Jeanty went against wasn't as good as Colorado, and Travis Hunter did something honestly we've never seen at this level before, where he was their best corner, one of the best corners in the country, and he was a big-time wide receiver for a top 25 team in the country. Boise State, I think, isn't in the playoff without Ashton Jeanty.
I think that's fair. Yeah,
so I don't think you can go wrong. I think Travis Hunter's
going
to win.
My deal is, if you want to put Ginty one, I'm not sitting there going, you didn't watch football.
I think it's Hunter. I think I would probably go Hunter one, Ginty two, but I think it's a lot harder than people assume.
I totally agree with that. And I would also point out this: while the betting markets got it right that Jaden was going to win, don't you remember when they showed the final vote? We all did the math. Like, when they showed the numbers, like, oh, Penix was not that far off from winning and being like a massive upset winner.
Yeah, that came out of kind of nowhere, right?
Yes. And so I do wonder if this kind of goes back to your point of, it's not like that bookmakers are sitting there and stealing emails of people that are voting. Like, they're essentially running probabilities.
Jeanty did have the closing statement that Travis Hunter didn't on championship weekend, standalone game on Fox. He ran for over 200 yards, had that big breakaway run in the first half. But I think at the end of the day, what Hunter we've never seen that. Woodson wasn't even like
that. No. The argument always against Hunter that I always bought into is what Travis would do at the beginning of the year was not sustainable for the year. And it was not sustainable last year.
He got hurt against Colorado State.
And then this year, like, I think he missed a half this year.
Yeah, he got banged up. When was that? Because there was a moment.
Was it
where
K-State game, maybe?
And there was a moment, it might have been, because his odds in the betting market dropped to like 20-1. And then he was good to go the following week and was like, oh, they're back down, you know?
Yeah, I think that was always the argument. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's recap championship week. We do it next with the weekly awards right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed-sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed-sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Add some sparkle to the holidays with Robert Irwin Jewelers. Whether you're celebrating one of life's biggest milestones, like an engagement, or simply making the holidays unforgettable, Robert Irwin Jewelers has the perfect gift for your loved ones. Some of the top holiday picks are diamond earrings. Every woman needs a pair of diamond studs. They're like the little black dress of jewelry. You can check out the half-carat total weight diamond studs starting at just $3.99. They also have tennis bracelets as well as diamond necklaces to check out as well. Of course, the holidays make it a big engagement season. You choose from hundreds of handcrafted engagement rings in truly unique and trendy fashion-forward styles that she'll adore. Or if you want something one-of-a-kind, you can do what I did, what Connor did. You can make your own engagement ring. You can do so with peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. 365 days, no questions asked, return policy. Also, check out the Above Love Star Diamond. It's an extraordinary lab-grown diamond featuring 100 facets and a hidden star in the center for an unmatched sparkle. It's available in engagement rings, earrings, pendants. Each one comes with the diamond viewing scope so that you can see the star for yourself. You can shop now in-store. Also, check out the 12 months deferred interest. Pardon, 12 months interest-free financing, or you can take up to 60 months to pay. They're open on Sundays through Christmas. You can visit any of their 5 locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Okay, I thought about maybe making him team of the week, but we just heard Jacob Dylan and the Wallflowers, covering, of course, Heroes from the cinematic masterpiece, Godzilla 2000. I'm pretty sure that's the worst movie I've ever made my dad. It was on like HBO a few years ago. I was like, God, this movie sucked. And I was just thinking, like, what my dad must have been thinking watching that movie. That movie had to be so, so bad. But I bring up the Dylan family because Jacob Dylan's father, of course, Bob Dylan. We have Timothy Chalamet playing Bob Dylan in the new biopic. Do you say biopic or biopic?
I say biopic.
Okay, I do too. I don't know if we're correct or not, but what's it? It's based off. Is it like Rolling Stone? No. How does it feel? I think of the song. What's the line? Oh, it's like someone from the name of the movie. Damn it! But Timothy Chalamet was on Game Day as the guest picker, and of course, when he was announced as the guest picker, the college football stands of the world, the gatekeepers, very against it. Dude crushed it. I don't know if he had like a great writing team and he's just a phenomenal actor, but he crushed it. He was phenomenal, so credit where credit's due. So I won't give him team of the week, but I do think Chalamet deserves a shout out. Glad to see something finally, you know, going right for that young man. All right, team of the week. I'm going to go off the beaten path. I know you thought I'm going to pick Army, but I'm not, because there'll be more on that in a minute. I'm going with the boys from Ohio.
Yeah, whoop that tushy.
But that's also been a house of horrors for them.
Yep.
They've never been able to win that game despite many times being favored and having the best team. They go up against Miami of Ohio, who convincingly beat them this year, and they put it on them, and I want to give a shout-out to the Mac. Even though the Mac got trendy for a while, I still love it, and that game still year after year proves no one should ever be favored in the Mac championship game. But shout out to the Bobcats, kind of exercising the demons, finally winning the Mac.
Yeah, and they did so well that their coach left.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're gonna
I'm out of here.
That's the year. That's the world we're in. And in fairness to him, that was kind of, you know, he was kind of in that mode of like, sharks were swimming. I'm never upset when a coach leaves when the sharks are swimming.
Explain.
So he was Solich's replacement. And if you remember, Solich stepped down. Was it in spring or was it like August?
I remember I wrote up the I wrote the preview for Ohio, and I had to make an adjustment real quick when he took over.
So Solich did that to make sure one of his guys got the gig. And Ohio last year in particular was starting to look iffy. And the Ohio is, there are not a lot of great jobs in the MAC, but Ohio's a very good job in the MAC. And it's always the classic, we can do better than this. And then he goes and he has that season. I'm fine if you leave in that category, because they were looking to fire you.
My team of the week, I got to give it to Arizona State, man.
No problem with that either.
I was wrong. You came out and you smoked them. There was no doubt. You were the better team pretty much from the jump. Iowa State had a drive that gave them a 7-3 lead, and I was like, all right, here we go. We'll be all right.
Iowa State's opening script worked.
It did. And then after that,
not much did.
It did not. And, you know, Cam Scataboo was going into that game. And what led me to bet Iowa State was twofold. One was just kind of being a bit of a contrarian, because everyone had seemed to not write off Iowa State. Just no one was talking about them. It was more like, man, look at the job Kenny Dillingham's done. They got this running back. And I'm like, they're missing their best wide receiver. Well, it didn't matter. And the concerns about the defensive scheme that John Heacock, the D coordinator of Iowa State, runs, which is a 3-3-5, it's an issue, and it was an issue, and Scataboo ran for 170 yards and just 16 carries and really couldn't be stopped, and they had other guys step up. So Arizona State, tip of the cap to you. I was wrong. I bet against you. I thought it was just like too much pressure on them in rivalry week. And then last week, I just thought Iowa State was better, and I thought they shouldn't be an underdog. Market moved in that direction.
I was going to say that.
Iowa State closed the favorite.
I know. We got so much CLV that we even went from dog status to favorite, and it still didn't matter, to your point.
Didn't matter. And so Arizona State, good for you guys. You smoked them. And 45-19 wasn't even indicative of
No.
That was a blowout, and I was like, early on in the day, because Friday night really wasn't that great, you know? I mean, outside of if you won some bets like you did.
Yeah, it was not a fun watch.
And then early Saturday, you're like, all right, Miami's getting smoked by Ohio. Arizona State's crushing Iowa State. Like, really? This is the way it's going to play out? And then even in the first half of Texas-Georgia, I'm like, Texas is the better team, but they're only up 6-3. And then after that, it was like, okay, now we're on. Oregon-Penn State was fun. SMU-Clemson was fun. And it turned around. But Arizona State, yeah, all credit to them. They whooped up, man, and that turnaround Kenny Dillingham has done is pretty remarkable.
No, to your point, I was watching with one of my college buddies came into town to run the St. Jude Marathon, and we were at Birdie's, a spot that's going to sponsor the list, and we're watching it, and I turned to him, I go, man, this game in the first half is like, this game has LSU-Alabama 2011 game of the century vibes, where you can tell me all you want, this is great defense. This is putrid offense. Like, this is bad, bad, bad. And then the second half happened, and it was a great watch. But you knew Texas. At least I did. I knew Texas was in trouble when I think at one point they flashed up the graphic. It was 193 total yards of offense to 9, and the score was 6-0.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, boy, that's a problem. All right, dumpster fire of the week. So I'll say the Athletic's got a great story on all the politics and the circus that's going around this North Carolina coaching search. So I want to discuss that in full when we talk about it. We'll do that on the list. Dumpster fires of the week for me, since it's, I can't really like put a team like, hey man, you made your conference championship game. Sure. You're not a dumpster fire. Whatever Oklahoma State did last week, I don't know if they were negotiating through the media with Gundy. That, to me, was an option. And then, as you just pointed out, the calendar, just in general. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I'll say the dumpster fire of the week is, and I understand why they do it, but it's all of the politicking from whether it be Kiffin or Greg Byrne or even Cignetti going on CBS and saying we should have a home game. Like, it's not, it doesn't do anything.
The first thing Dabo said when they gave him the mic was SMU should be in.
Right. I mean, it's just, it's nonstop. It's always, you know, there was some dude out there on Friday night saying that Army should be in over Notre Dame. And I'm like, what?
They played,
and one team won by 35 points.
And it wasn't that close.
Like, It was some dude, I don't know, he works for, I think, CBS, and essentially was like, Notre Dame doesn't play a conference championship. Army went out and won theirs. They're 11-1. Notre Dame's 11-1. Like, yeah, they played, and one team won by 5 touchdowns. So the politicking is tiresome, but I think that's it. I mean,
no, I'm fine with that selection, because I'm with you. It doesn't work, man.
It doesn't work.
I think the problem is it worked a couple of times for Sankey. And because it worked for him, everyone's like, well, you got to do what he's doing. Well, by the way, it didn't work for him this year.
No.
At all.
And like I said, I think on this show and whatnot, like, this year's situation is completely different from last year. Last year, Alabama beat the number one team in the country. Like, you really couldn't leave Alabama out. And I actually felt bad for Florida State, obviously, because of just their quarterback broke his ankle, but Alabama wasn't playing this weekend.
No, I mean, I do think it would have been interesting if Georgia, let's say Georgia loses in overtime and Beck gets hurt. What do you think they would have done?
They'd still be in. I think there's a...
But do you think they get the 5? Because I don't.
No. I don't think so. I think Penn State gets the 5. I think Notre Dame gets the 6.
And they would have gotten the last home game.
And Georgia would have got 7. Because going into this weekend, right, if I remember correctly, the playoff committee rankings were Oregon 1, Texas 2, Penn State 3, Notre Dame 4, Georgia 5.
Yep.
I think it would have just stayed the same.
Yep.
I think and then in the bracket, it would have been Penn State 5, Notre Dame 6, Georgia 7, Ohio State 8.
Yeah, I can buy that.
Yeah, but yeah, like Cignetti going on CBS and just like, this team did this, this team did this. We should be a home team, home game. If we're not Indiana, you know, it's like, all right, dude. Like, you're in the playoff, man.
Yeah,
like,
man,
congratulations, like. You can make an argument that you shouldn't be in the playoff. I would disagree with it. I think you should be in the playoff. You've dominated almost everyone you played. But when you played Michigan, you played Ohio State. You beat Michigan by 5, and you lost to Ohio State by 20 points.
All right, Heisman of the week. I've mentioned it. Parker Navarro from Ohio, 20 of 27, 235 yards through the air, two touchdowns, no interceptions, 13 carries, 67 yards, two scores, no turnovers. That's the huge part for my boy Parker. 10 plays of 10 yards or more, 4 of 20 or more. I just wanted to shout him out because I don't know how you could say the Heisman of the week. 16 carries, 170 yards. Cam Scataboo was just...
Yeah.
And then just watching them try... When you just see a team that wants no part of trying to tackle a running back, like that's when you just go like, yeah, man, that does not look like fun.
No, Scataboo was remarkable.
And that's not to discredit Jeanty. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's like you almost expect it from Ashton Jeanty, and that's not fair. The dude ran for 209 yards, and he had a big breakaway touchdown the first half that kind of salted the game away. When he did so, he has had an insane season. He's probably going to break Barry Sanders' record when he plays in the quarterfinal against whoever comes out of that side of the bracket, whether it be Penn State or SMU at the Fiesta Bowl. He's been insane. But for me, I would go Scataboo, or I'd go Tez Johnson, man.
Yeah, no problem with that.
That dude is...
On a field where everyone knew he was getting the ball, he kept getting the ball, and you kept going like, good God, how's he that open?
11 catches, buck 81, and a touchdown for Oregon's best receiver. And it's funny because, like, I don't know if they'll win the national title. And certainly they don't have a great draw where they have to play Ohio State or...
Tennessee,
but... It does feel like we're shortchanging Oregon a little bit, doesn't it?
I agree. I also think when you look at Georgia's path, you sit there and go, well, man, that's like a better path for Georgia than it is for Oregon. But Oregon was also...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.